morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 269. Our God is love, unchanging love, and can we ask for more? Our prayer for love's increase is vain, 'twas infinite before. Ask not the Lord with breath of praise for more than we accept. The open fount is free to all. God's promises are kept. Hymn number 269. Scriptural will be given by Dale from Virginia.
Matthew, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Hebrews. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in help, to help in time of need. 1 John. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite. All power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 422. Grace for today, O love divine, thee to obey and love alone. Losing the mortal will in thine, find we a joy before unknown. Hymn number 422.
Grace for today, O
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We begin our Sundays here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, where we discuss this week's lesson and any other topics that need to be covered, and learn how to practice better Christian Science. And we had another really good one this morning. So if you missed it, or if you'd like to hear it again, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. And you can also find it on our YouTube channel and our Vimeo channel. We have a Sunday school for children that meets at 11 a.m. every Sunday. And that Sunday school is available for children just about anywhere. It has its own teleconference number, and many of our students don't live in the area, but they attend via telephone. This means that if you don't live in the area and have a child of Sunday school age, your child can also attend. Just call the church, we'll give you the number, and our Sunday school teachers will be very happy to welcome your child to our Sunday school. We have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15 p.m., where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives vastly improved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services, we do have a nursery for infants and toddlers. So if you want to come in person, you can bring the whole family. We have now 20 different websites in 20 different languages. And as a result, people around the globe are finding the healing power of Christian Science and our church in their own language. And we're very grateful for those of you who have found us and have found the healing truth of Christian Science. And we're also very grateful for those of you, members and assistants, who help us to translate the word of truth into these different languages. It is a tremendous service. It is our missionary work as our church. And everything that we provide on all of our websites is free of charge. Freely we have received, and freely we give. One of the articles that is currently featured on our English language website, I'd like to point out, entitled Love by Bicknell Young. Really good, no-nonsense article entitled Love. Recommended highly. Everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony of healing from Science and Health, which attests to the healing power obtained by studying the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Jeremy.
Page 615, healed of rheumatism and Bright's disease. I am very thankful to God for what he has done for me. I was suddenly left alone with many troubles and trials, and I took up the study of the Bible. I was trying to understand it prior to joining some church, and it seemed to me this would be expected. I had attended all sorts of churches from my childhood up, but could never find any that met my need. As time passed on, my condition became very alarming. Sciatic rheumatism that had troubled me for some years became so severe I could scarcely do anything. Then there appeared some complications, so distressing that I was unable to walk far, and had to sit down frequently by the way. I thought I had Bright's disease, such excruciating pains, no tongue could tell my suffering. With all these things upon me, death seemed very near. I had never joined any church, and I thought it now too late, as I would have to wait 6 months on probation, and I would be dead before that. About this time, I made some inquiries of my sister in reference to Christian Science, as she had already turned to that faith, and I soon found that it was just what I had been looking for. I saw at once that it declared the truth and nothing but the truth. I commenced reading Science and Health, and also the New Testament. I wanted to find out what Jesus said, as I did not expect then to live long. I did not go to the meetings, nor did I read Science and Health to be cured, not thinking of that, but to be saved from an everlasting hell hereafter. My sister urged me to have a practitioner, but I kept on reading and praying to God in silence. And what happened? Where had the diseases gone? I persisted in reading Science and Health, together with the Bible, with the knowledge that God, as revealed by Christ Jesus, can do everything, and that he made everything that was made, and that he can and does heal the afflicted. He has healed me, thanks to his most holy name. G.J.H., Charleston, Illinois.
The Bible and the Christian Science textbook are our only preachers. The scriptural texts and their correlative passages from our textbook, these comprise our sermon. The canonical writings, together with the word of our textbook, corroborating and explaining the Bible texts in their denominational spiritual import and application to all ages, past, present, and future, constitute a sermon undivorced from truth, uncontaminated or fettered by human hypotheses, and authorized by Christ. And today's lesson sermon can be found on page 10 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject, love. The golden text is from Galatians. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The responsive reading, 1 Peter. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins.
Use hospitality one to another without grudging.
As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Craig will now read.
The Bible, Philippians. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Isaiah, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine inhabitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. Ruth. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou should take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. So she gleaned in the field until even. And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, Blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, This is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. And he is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Proverbs. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. 1 John. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth.
Elizabeth from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Self-abnegation, by which we lay down all for truth or Christ in our warfare against error, is a rule in Christian Science. This rule clearly interprets God as divine principle, as life represented by the Father, as truth represented by the Son, as love represented by the Mother. Love for God and man is the true incentive in both healing and teaching. Love inspires, illumines, designates, and leads the way. Right motives give pinions to thought, and strength and freedom to speech and action. Love is priestess at the altar of truth. Wait patiently for divine love to move upon the waters of mortal mind and form the perfect concept. Patience must have her perfect work. The test of all prayer lies in the answer to these questions. Do we love our neighbor better because of this asking? Do we pursue the old selfishness, satisfied with having prayed for something better, though we give no evidence of the sincerity of our requests by living consistently with our prayer? If selfishness has given place to kindness, we shall regard our neighbor unselfishly and bless them that curse us. But we shall never meet this great duty simply by asking that it may be done. There is a cross to be taken up before we can enjoy the fruition of our hope and faith. When we realize that there is one mind, the divine law of loving our neighbor as ourselves is unfolded. Whereas a belief in many ruling minds hinders man's normal drift towards the one mind, one God, and leads human thought into opposite channels where selfishness reigns. Selfishness tips the beam of human existence towards the side of error, not towards truth. Denial of the oneness of mind throws our weight into the scale not of spirit, God, good, but of matter. To love one's neighbor as oneself is a divine idea, but this idea can never be seen, felt, nor understood through the physical senses. Happiness is spiritual, born of truth and love. It is unselfish, therefore it cannot exist alone, but requires all mankind to share it. Human affection is not poured forth vainly, even though it meet no return. Love enriches the nature, enlarging, purifying, and elevating it. The wintry blast of earth may uproot the flowers of affection and scatter them to the winds, but this severance of fleshly ties serves to unite thought more closely to God, for love supports the struggling heart until it ceases to sigh over the world and begins to unfold its wings for heaven. Would existence without personal friends be to you a blank? Then the time will come when you will be solitary, left without sympathy. But this seeming vacuum is already filled with divine love. When this hour of development comes, even if you cling to a sense of personal joys, spiritual love will force you to accept what best promotes your growth. Friends will betray and enemies will slander until the lesson is sufficient to exalt you. For man's extremity is God's opportunity. The author has experienced the foregoing prophecy and its blessings. God gives the lesser idea of himself for a link to the greater, and in return, the higher always protects the lower. The rich in spirit help the poor in one grand brotherhood, all having the same principle or father. And blessed is that man who seeth his brother's need and supplieth it, seeking his own in another's good. Love giveth to the least spiritual idea might, immortality, and goodness, which shine through all as the blossom shines through the bud. We walk in the footsteps of truth and love by following the example of our Master in the understanding of divine metaphysics. Christianity is the basis of true healing. Whatever holds human thought in line with unselfed love receives directly the divine power. Jesus established in the Christian era the precedent for all Christianity, theology, and healing. Christians are under as direct orders now as they were then to be Christ-like, to possess the Christ spirit, to follow the Christ example, and to heal the sick as well as the sinning. It is easier for Christianity to cast out sickness than sin, for the sick are more willing to part with pain than are sinners to give up the sinful, so-called pleasure of the senses. The Christian can prove this today as readily as it was proved centuries ago. Our Master said to every follower, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Heal the sick. Love thy neighbor as thyself. It was this theology of Jesus which healed the sick and the sinning. At all times and under all circumstances, overcome evil with good. Know thyself, and God will supply the wisdom and the occasion for a victory over evil. Clad in the panoply of love, human hatred cannot reach you. The cement of a higher humanity will unite all interests in the one divinity. Spiritual living and blessedness are the only evidences by which we can recognize true existence and feel the unspeakable peace which comes from an all-absorbing spiritual love. It should be thoroughly understood that all men have one mind, one God and Father, one life, truth, and love. Mankind will become perfect in proportion as this fact becomes apparent. War will cease, and the true brotherhood of man will be established. Having no other gods, turning to no other but the one perfect mind to guide him, man is the likeness of God, pure and eternal, having that mind which was also in Christ. Universal love is the divine way in Christian Science.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let us now sing hymn number 30. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. Brood o'er us with thy sheltering wing, neath which our spirits blend like brother birds that soar and sing and on the same branch bend. The arrow that doth wound the dove darts not from those who watch and love. Hymn number 30.
Thank you.
Let us now sing hymn number 406. O love, our mother ever near, to thee we turn from doubt and fear. In perfect peace our thoughts abide. Our hearts now in this truth confide. Man is the child of God. Hymn number 406.
Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation. For God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Psalms. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Amen.